Today's episode is brought to you by Omio. Omio is a travel booking platform that makes planning a vacation in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Omio will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Omio saves you time and money, which is a win-win. Omio wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head on over to Omio.com and use promo code LISTENER5 at checkout. Valid until June 30th for all new users on all modes of transportation. It's just the pick-me-up your 2021 needs. Omio. Plan, book, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply. Have you been in quarantine? Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your coconuts in months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with hairy coconuts. Would you show up to the first day of school without a haircut? Nope. Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of the ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essential Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining. The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with Manscaped Crop Preserver Deodorant and Crop Reviver Toner. The Crop Preserver is anti-chafing deodorant, which ensures your afternoon stroll through the jungle doesn't result in sticky coconuts. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner and made with soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts to give your coconuts a special boost. Subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean. The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through the quarantine and welcome back to the jungle with a Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code SLOPDROP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com when you use SLOPDROP, S-L-O-P-D-R-O-P. Your first post-quarantine date will thank you.
That's a slop drop. I can answer that. That's a slop drop. What is that move? That's a slop drop.
Slop drop time.
Oh, that's a slop drop. Slop drop. Slop drop. Slop drop. The slop drop indeed.
What's up, everybody? Yeah. Welcome back to the Slop Drop. I am joined by two guys that's in the epicenter of the Delta strand of the coronavirus, Bad Luck Chapman and the manager of Champions, Stephen E. What's up, guys?
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, man. You know, you talk about the epicenter of the Delta variant, boy. We are on the front lines here in Springfield. And, you know, Bad Luck seems to be following you around everywhere, but you haven't got no hide nor hair.
Don't put that evil on me, man. Come on.
Let's talk about something not so much bad luck, something that's pretty awesome. As soon as Bad Luck Chapman gives the countdown, we're going to talk about and be watching Ric Flair versus Terry Funk, I Quit match. Count us down, Chapman.
3, 2, 1, play.
All right. I don't know if you guys can see behind me. We might be a few seconds off, but Funk grabbing the mic and telling Flair, hey, this is your last chance. Do you want out? And, of course, Nature Boy ain't getting that out. He ain't quitting.
Oh, boy. Look at that Gary Hart behind him.
Gary Hart.
Yep. Oh, man.
This is at Clash of the Champions 9 in New York, Vince's territory, November 15th, 1989, from the RPI Fieldhouse in Troy, New York.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's crazy that they would try to invade, so to speak, Vince's territory. Everybody knows Vince's got a stranglehold on the Northeast, and man, it didn't seem to scare them.
Well, this is a clash too, so this is a free pay-per-view.
Yep. Yeah, WWF at the time actually aired a replay of the Survivor Series to counter program just to be asses.
Oh, look at Funk Boy.
Man, he plays every role of a heel during this match. I mean, yeah. the chicken crap heel, the cheating heel, the dastardly heel. He's on fire here.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Flair, you know, he's at that tweener stage right now where, you know, him and the four, you know, him, he's known with the Four Horsemen for being a heel, but man, you can't help but like the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. This, I hate to say it, man, but as we watch this, I think maybe the first time that I've ever seen this match. So,
dude, this is a clinic.
Yes.
Watch it.
Yeah. I've never seen it either.
Oh,
this
man,
is actually the blow off for their feud.
Wow. I always loved Terry Funk. I loved his ECW stuff. Look at the selling that he's doing right there.
Rolls out.
Rolled right back out. But just, you know, with his fist still up in the air, and you know, he's just a master of psychology, a master of the selling, art of selling, you know, something that is not something we see a lot of nowadays. Look at him.
Look at Tommy Young, the referee. 4,000 in attendance. Got a 4.9 rating, about 2.5 million homes watched. Not bad for 1989.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, not bad for the time frame and for Vince running a Survivor Series pay-per-view with it.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, it was I don't know if he put that out for free, but it was a replay. Just to, like I said, just to try and get some viewers from him.
Mm. I don't know about you guys, but I was always a fan of baby blue trunks on Ric Flair. I just, you know, I always
look. Didn't work good for Brock Anderson, but by God, they're working here.
After this show, it received 100% rating from Wrestling Observer fans. Almost 400 thumbs up, 0 thumbs in the middle, 0 thumbs down. 100% thumbs up.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Of course, we can't hear it, but Jim Ross and Gordon Solie are on commentary.
Oh, wow. I can only imagine. You have to excuse me because I am already into it. I mean, what we're a minute and a half into it, 2 minutes into it, and it already has my attention. You know, that just goes to show, man, I love that headbutt. It just goes to show, you know, the product that they were putting out, how much better it was back then. Than it is today.
Go back and watch this with the sound on when we're done, and I'll tell you.
I'm going to, yeah. Look at that cell.
Soli and Ross is on point. Ric Flair's chops are on point. I mean, I know he chop after chop in his matches, but these are just perfect. And when you're able to
hear it, you know, you've got two of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time right now in the ring.
Yeah, and you know, I said it earlier, I don't know if this younger generation, this new generation of fan are ever gonna quite understand the you know, the lasting effect that Terry Funk had on this business, right? When, you know, whether he was promoting, whether he was, you know, working, you know, just, you know, I guess now they just look at him and see a 73, 74-year-old
guy. I'll tell you how much of an impact he's had. He has publicly had to go out and ask for fans to quit asking for his autograph.
Yeah.
You know, that ought to tell you.
Flair was 40 during this match, and Funk was 45. Now, you mentioned his age. This week's his birthday, June 30th, 1944 is when he was born. He'll be 77 this week.
Ooh, the Funker's going to be 77, huh?
77. And Chapman, ooh, yeah, they had to put a thing on Twitter. It's like, look, I'm old, tired, I love y'all, but I can't do it no more.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Please leave me alone. I'm just an old man.
Yep. Build up.
But, you know, it would have to, you know, the flattery in it, you know, the fact that he's 77 and people are still recognizing him. Yeah. He's been out of the game for quite a while. But people still wanting his autograph, and I'm sure it probably gets old, and he's probably tired of it. But, you know, at the flip side, I hope he sees the flattery in it, that people, you know, that he's still relevant after all these years.
Lots of new stuff you see here. The cameraman was actually in the ring. You had a live mic in the ring. Nobody had seen that before during a match. The build-up, 4 months to build this match up. 5-star rated. Feud of the year, 1985. It all started at the finale of Flair and Steamboat's match, the third match.
I want to say that Funk was in a suit and tie, congratulated him, and told him he wanted to be the first one to challenge for.
Exactly. He was one of the judges.
Yeah.
They had three former NWA world champions, and Funk was one of them. After a 40-minute match with Steamboat, Funk gets into the ring in his tuxedo, interrupts the post-match interview. He'd been MIA for a few, out filming a movie with Sylvester Stallone, and said he wanted to be the first to challenge Flair. Flair turned down the offer and said, hey, well, you've been in Hollywood. There's a list of top 10 guys in the NWA, and you're not one of them. Funk a little offended, and then he attacked Flair, and that's how it started. Piledrived him onto a table. Hardly ever seen a table spot back in the day. Stiff as a rock. I mean, piledriver table doesn't break at
all. You get bonus points if you can tell me what movie he was off filming. I know.
With Sylvester Stallone?
Yep.
I don't know.
I can't think of the
name. Oh, top,
the arm wrestling. Over the top.
No, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Not that one. He was in a few movies. No. He's also in Roadhouse.
Yep, he's in Roadhouse. I knew he was in Roadhouse. But
Sylvester Stallone wasn't in Roadhouse.
What? No. Yeah, it was.
He was in that too, but it's not the movie at the time.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, so you lost bonus points.
Gosh, I did lose bonus points, man. I'm glad that I I'm glad that I opened my mouth and said that.
I'll tell you in just a second.
Get out of my way, Gary Hart.
Paradise Alley.
Jamie, look that up.
Paradise Alley. I believe it was about pro wrestling, too. I haven't seen it. It's made in 1978, I think. Released in 78 or 79. So he'd been away for a couple years, and he'd made this movie. Yeah. And one of the first wrestlers to hit the big screen.
Yeah, well, Terry Funker, man. But I the first movie that I ever remember him in was Roadhouse.
Yep.
So you know,
and he was jacked in Roadhouse too.
Yeah.
Boy,
if you ever go back and watch, like, because Terry's never been the bodybuilder type, but man, if you go back to Roadhouse, I mean, he was beefed up.
Yeah, jacked up.
After that initial dust up with Flair, you know, he sold the broke neck for weeks. And Flair sat at home for quite a while selling neck injury. And in the meantime, Funk defeated several top guys to work his way up the ranks to earn that shot. But he delivered some weekly promos that legit pissed Flair off in real life. He thought he was burying him. He's like, what are you trying to do? You know, bury me, kill me? He's like, dude, you've been a heel. Like you mentioned earlier, Chapman, you've been a heel for so long. We're trying to get you over as a face. I'm being the heel now. I'm just working. And there was a little animosity.
Well, you know, but here's my question. Was Flair ever really a face?
Well, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, there was that little bit of, you know, maybe not 89, I don't think. But, you know, I mean, obviously they started to push him towards a face run.
I feel like the closest he ever got was when he was, you know, the tweener. People loved him, but he was still doing the, you know, when the referee, to this day, if he was getting the ring.
Setting him up.
Look at that. Referee's looking the other way, you know, he's going to kick him in the nuts. He's going to poke him in the eyes. You know, he's got certain moves that he does that he would do right now if he was in the wrestling ring. And so, you know, face or not, I think it's more of a tweener because he's doing the heel stuff, but the crowd loves him.
On that injured neck.
Yeah, on the injured neck. But you see that pile driver, and we were talking about Mr. Wonderfuls, and is there really even any comparison? You know, that failed to do it for me there, boys. But the match has been really good. Match has been really good. Tommy Young, boy.
Tommy Young. They had a few run-ins between that first incident and this match. One of them was the infamous plastic bag incident where Funk tried to suffocate Flair with a plastic bag on TV, which pissed off the network. And I believe they have since removed that footage, but you can find it on YouTube.
Look at that. They set him up for another pile driver on the concrete.
Non-title match, but it is an I Quit match. Look at there.
Oh, man.
You know what, though? And I don't want to give away the business, but when Flair goes up, you ever watch how his hands are just cupping Funk's feet? Like, it just, perfectly holding himself up, taking some of his weight off of Funk, and then hitting it.
Yeah, definitely protecting himself.
Like, I mean, extra protected.
He has a broken, he had a broken neck.
Yeah, broken freaking neck, Chapman.
Yeah, he had a broken neck.
Freaking neck.
Defending the NWA world title with a broken freaking neck.
There it is.
Flair from the get-go, rookie of the year in 1975, multiple match of the year, feuds of the year, and multiple Hall of Fames, multiple titles, NWA, WCW, WWE. Some say, WWE recognizes 16-time world champion, but actually over 20.
Hmm.
Been a TV champion, tag champion in about everywhere.
Yeah.
WCW Triple Crown champion.
He's been a top guy at every aspect of the business, whether it was, wrestling, whether it was managing or you know, just he's Ric Flair, what can you say?
There's a handful of people that don't watch wrestling that know wrestlers. Everybody knows Stone Cold Steve Austin. Everybody knows Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And especially back then, everybody knew who Ric Flair was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can go on and on about the accolades, but Funk also won multiple Hall of Fames.
Yeah.
Won multiple awards. Multiple tag team champion in Japan, NWA, NWE. Former world champion in NWA and ECW. Oh, getting the table out. D-Von, get the tables.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're right, too. That is unheard of back in 89. That type of thing didn't happen.
Yeah. ECW TV champion, US champion, WCW hardcore champion.
Jeez.
Yeah, you guys.
Now, like I said, you've got two of the greatest right there in the ring together. You know, and that doesn't happen very often, but I mean, people can say what they want to about Hogan, but you want to talk about actual workers, you've got two of the best right there.
Yep.
I mean, the chair leg just accidentally hit him and he sold it. goodness.
You got to go back and watch this with the sound, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that crowd. Yeah.
You can hear Funk talking trash.
Mm.
JR and Soli just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Like I said, only 4,000 in the crowd. You wouldn't be able to tell it. Look at the Coors Light sponsorship on the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Ring posts.
Oh, man. Gary Hart better mind his own business. Ric Flair showed him the way out.
But you know what? Look at the, you said 4,000 people. But look, there's not one of them sitting down.
No. Nope.
A lot of signs in the crowd, too, for being 1989.
Well, you got to think it like 1989 NWA, yes. 1989 WWF, not really. You know, WWF did have a lot of signs, and you got to think they're in WWEF, whatever you want to call it. They're in Vince's background, or back door.
Backyard.
Yeah, it just, it's cool because you have that WWF crowd watching a NWA event, and You can just tell, like, I love when they go to like Boston or Philadelphia, New York, the crowds are just so much different. And
I love it.
Cool
when they go to the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Those crowds are hot.
Mm-hmm. Look at Funk. He just sold that thing. He
slid right out.
Yep. Rick hit that knee and just made him slither like a snake. Ran like a scalded dog.
Funk usually wears the kind of the black and red striped tights under the trunks.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the barber's pole.
Yeah. Almost like a rodeo clown, too.
Yeah. Rodeo clown, yeah.
They're just gray tights this time, right?
Yeah. Just gray and black.
Look at Soli and Jim Ross right there at ringside. I mean, right. Yeah. Next to the ring,
man.
That's funny that you pointed. I wouldn't have seen that. The Coors Light, but it's on
every post.
Hey, they were kind of ahead of their time with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary Hart, Dallas legend. You had the Sportatorium background before.
Yeah, earlier. Yeah, yeah. Like
a Sportatorium, you got to think of Gary Hart.
Oh, man. Man, look at this. Yeah.
It's crazy this is an I Quit match. It's such a good match.
Yeah.
You know, and Funk, you know, he was throwing them rights, and Funk would spin around and he'd get chopped. And then he'd throw a right, spin around, and get chopped.
He's trying, know, to, just... trying to escape again, playing the mm-hmm. chicken bleep. But
yep. Yeah, gosh. just you know, you can just, man, these guys right here, I mean, they love, can dance with a broomstick.
Yeah,
man, that was one of my favorite moves Rick did, is when he'd pick him up with the leg bent and drop him down on his knee.
Mm.
You know, daggum well, there's nothing there to hurt, but by God, it looked like a million bucks. It looks like it,
though, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Those guys having a good old time.
Yeah.
That one, and then when he'd stretch his leg across the bottom rope and he'd jump off the second rope and sit on it.
Yeah.
You know, sit right at the bend of the knee.
Well, you know, I mean, how dare you disrespect Ricky?
No, those are. Are I'm you saying those that? Are you saying that
when he picked him up on and dropped him on the knee that he wasn't getting him ready for the figure four? Absolutely,
that's what I just said. I said those were my favorite moves that Rick ever did.
And that's what he's doing. He's working on that.
He's working on that leg. Yep, getting him ready. Yep, getting him ready for that.
Oh, he's going to spin leg. Right here. Yep. You knew when he straightened that thing out, he was spinning.
Yep, Terry Funk's putting Funk up a fight.
Fighting it.
He's fighting it off.
Right there. There you go. There you go.
Woo!
Woo! I wonder what year the woo originated. I'm sure somebody out there.
Jamie, look that up.
Yeah, when did that start becoming a thing, you know?
That move there was,
I would say it was
kind of unheard of too at the time, taking a bump on the apron like that.
Yeah.
You see it more today than you did back then.
God dang, look at Terry though, man. I loved how he would just swing, you know, when he went
swing
to hit
for
you.
The fences, yeah. Yep.
You know, and I'll give JJ credit. I heard Jason Jones say it. You know, when you throw that punch, you want the guys in the cheap seats to see it. And there's very few guys who do it, but he was one of them.
Flair's got that figure four locked in.
Oh, yeah.
He says, it's breaking my leg. You're breaking my leg.
Oh, man. Do you see how just smooth he put that on?
Mm-hmm.
Just slid it right on.
Look at Tommy.
Where's Gary Hart at? Gary Hart should be doing something. Oh, he's holding the mic up. Come on, Funker, you quit. What do you say, Terry? What do you say?
He's saying never, never. And he's saying, you're breaking my
leg.
Never. And then finally he says, yes, I quit.
Oh, shit.
Man, was that 20 minutes?
Gosh. Yeah, those guys. Man, oh, man.
You've embarrassed me.
You've embarrassed J-Tex. Me. What are you doing?
Is it J-Tex Corporation or is it the Japan, Texas, whatever stable?
Yeah. J-Tex, yeah.
With Great Muda. And
yep. Gary oh, yeah. Funk. Mm-hmm.
Man, I wouldn't have thought that was a 20-minute match.
I would have ended that way too much. Give us what we want. We want Flair to send Gary Hart packing, or we want Funk to send him packing. Come on. Send Hart. Yep.
Flair saying, shake my hand like a man.
Oh.
Gary Hart, don't you do it. Don't you shake his hand. You've embarrassed me. Get out of my face. I'm shaking his hand. Just tore the house down. There it is.
There it is. Yep.
Heck of a match.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even that handshake, you know, it almost, you know, like you said, there was a little borderline heat between those boys going into it. You can almost tell that handshake, you know, the release just seemed a little, I don't know, man. It's a little tough.
Great match.
Yes. Great. Again, please go back and watch it with the sound on. What'd you guys think? Thumbs up? Thumbs in the middle?
No, thumbs up, man. Double thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want to do something because, like I said, the Funker's birthday, 77 this week, and I thought, why not watch this, one of his best matches ever? And that's probably my favorite Terry Funk match right there.
Yeah, that was definitely a good match. I'm glad to have sat here and spent
the
last however many minutes watching that with you boys. This was it was a good match.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode. Follow us on Facebook at The Slop Drop, on Twitter at The Slop Drop 1. wherever you get your podcast, we're there. And until next time, we're out of here.
Goodbye and good night.